contrary to what most people think is badass, is I don't think I know all the answers. I genuinely do not.
Right.
And I tell my team that if I don't know, I do not know. I think what's unattractive, not badass, is when someone literally thinks they knows everything. I'll tell my thirst audience, hey, we messed up. Or I'm telling my team, I'm really struggling here. We're like with this. And so I think like that's been one of my top strategies as a leader, is really just like learning by doing. And yeah, I'm getting experience. I'm getting more knowledge as I go, but I'm not fronting.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from, where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. Oh, it feels like a minute since I've done that.
It's like if you don't do it for like 2 or 3 weeks, you feel rusty. It's like you kind of, it's like, wow.
Well, today we've got a guest in town. This guy's got a local business here, but he's also got locations up in Salt Lake. So he's back and forth all the time. And I was just thinking the other day, I'm like, man, we need to get some podcast episode in. I loved your story when you popped in to bring us some treats that day.
Some treats.
Yeah. I know. Like I actually 8,000
pretzels and beignets and... God, it was a carb, like, dude, you could have backed up a dump truck, dude.
Yeah,
over-delivered, man.
Yeah. I know. Well, I felt bad because, by the way, this is Ethan Cisneros. Welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited to have you here. And your story was really cool, and I want to get into that here in a minute. But yeah, I told him, I said... I was like, yeah, man, we got like 40 employees, you know, but a couple are remote and we do have like 35 in here. And then I was like, but don't bring, just bring like 7 or 8 things and then we'll cater with you one of these days. And he showed up with
I think 40 bags. Fucking bags. Yeah.
But man, he's got
he goes hard in the paint in business and in bringing.
Hey, it's a good marketing strategy, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, here you
get
are.
Get the product in people's hands, right?
I'll you're bet some of them hit your store sense.
Now
you know?
He's sitting in our podcast conference room.
Well, dude, those pretzels are actually like a little guilty pleasure of mine. Like, I used to go to the mall like a couple times a year because I'm like, damn, pretzels sounds
good. What kid didn't love pretzels, dude? Like at the mall, you know, getting that nacho cheese sauce.
Why have they been just at the mall for so long? You know? It's kind of... Yeah, bitch, I might be scratching.
They're one of the only businesses that haven't gone out of business in there, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, how has it been there so long?
Seriously.
It's weird. But Ethan owns a chain of drink shops, and then he's got Wetzel's Pretzels as well, franchises in there. And he was telling us as he brought these treats in, he was like, yeah, I've got like 6 locations. And he told us he started, you know, clear back in high school when he had his snow cone shack or his that type of deal. So I thought, man, that's really cool. I'd like to hear more about that. So that's why I was like, man, come in and tell us your story.
Hey, what did I say to you when you said you had 6 locations? Do you remember?
I think you said something about I feel bad for you or how hard it was. I said,
I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah.
You know, is what I said. Like, you don't know. I said, I don't know if I should say congratulations or I'm sorry. Or something like that.
Well, it confirmed a lot about like initially what drew me guys to you, which is I say it was hustle respects hustle, real respects real. I mean, literally, you guys call it real business owners, which originally attracted me in, which is like you guys know really what's going on in the trenches, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I do too to some degree, and I'm learning that stuff. And so, I'm attracted to like other people doing it
for
too,
sure, you know? And you're attracting
especially
it to
someone
you.
Who's done it. So.
Yeah, and like, dude, I honestly, to be honest, I didn't like know really that much about you, but you started messaging me on my personal Instagram too, and so we started talking a little bit there, and then I started noticing you more in our real business owners one, and I was like, dude, this kid's hustling. Like, he's in Salt Lake, he's in St. George, he's delivering, he's like in there making them, he's like hiring, he's firing, he's, you know, you're doing it all, and that's what this show's really built on, man. Is like when Trev and I first talked about this podcast, we're like, we want to interview real business owners. Like, we get some big guests now and again, and they're way further along, and they're still real business owners, obviously, but like we like interviewing these guys that are like
They're in the grind right now, in the muck of it, neck deep in their shit, right?
Yeah.
When, you know, there's a lot of amazing people that we could bring on as guests and big names, but all they're doing is talking about what was. Yeah. You know, yeah, they still have their hustles and this, that, the other, but they're surrounded by a lot of amazing people. And there's a process that you have to go through to get to that level,
yeah.
right? And we like to bring on people that are in the middle of the process where somebody could say, I don't know if I yeah. should say congratulations or I'm sorry. Because
yeah.
some days, you know, it's like, yeah. damn, what the hell am I doing? Should I go down to one store or two yeah. stores? Like, you know.
I wish, like, this is kind of my angle, which yeah. is, I wish there was more people that were, I don't know if it's an insecurity or whatever it is, but my angle on content is, look, I haven't made it yet by yeah. any means. And right. I'm gonna be the first to ask for help. I'm gonna be the first to go in and like give props to other people that have, but here's me trying to do it. And here's me failing and trying new things. And so, yeah, man, I'm all about the documentation of the grind. I'm definitely still learning tons of stuff. And,
Well, let's talk about the early days, because Kel kind of alluded to it a little bit with yeah. like a snow cone shack or something like that. Where did you get bit with the bug? You know, I mean, I know Kel had his little hustles. He was selling nickel and dime bags in school or whatever. Yeah,
hustling illegal stuff.
You know, for real though. You know, not saying that that's where you started, but we yeah. all start at one point. There's this bug of a hustler, and it's like, you know, I polished golf balls and sold them mm-hmm. back to golfers, you know, yep. after digging in the bushes and mowed lawns and pulled weeds and did the whole thing just to get that extra $5 or $10 yep. bucks as a youngster. Like, where did it start with you? Because yeah. obviously it started at a young age. You're still not the oldest,
yeah.
you know, person on earth. So, and you're doing awesome things, but I kind of want to know, you know, day one
yeah.
that you can kind of remember where the hustle came in.
Yeah. Well, I can even, before I even tell that story, it's funny now because, like, you know, guys like you that everyone looks up to, or we were just talking about like Gary Vee being a pioneer and, you know, entrepreneurship content. It wasn't a thing even when I was a kid. Like entrepreneurship, like obviously there wasn't as much content out probably, but like it just wasn't as cool of a thing. Like now it is the coolest thing
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
And so it's just like way more of a thing now, but I'm just thinking back, like, when I think back of my story, which was first business I ever had was lawn mowing. Still literally is one of the most money I've ever made. Because I put everything back
yeah,
in the 30s.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you have six stores. So dude, right when you think you're making a couple lawn, bucks, you're like, yeah, store number two, I'm broke again. Store number three, I'm broke again.
Hey, it all goes back in, baby. Yeah. But first business for me was Zach and Ethan's Lawns. My buddy Zach and I, we were 11 when we started it, and basically we flyered every house in the neighborhood. We knocked on doors. We convinced one guy to mow his lawn for $20. That was our first account. And we both lived like literally at least a half mile on either direction of this house. I pushed my mower up the busy street on the side of the road. I had my trimmer and blower sitting on it. And we mowed our first lawn. And then from there, it just kind of grew. And so I did that majority of high school as a lawn mowing business. And actually, I was literally able to scale it. Like, so I started when I was 11. We had it so that we bought a trailer. We couldn't drive yet, but we would literally, our moms would take turns hooking it up to the back of their Suburban or the Jeep, picking us up. We would get dropped off in like a central area in the neighborhood where we had the most amount of lawns, and we would push our mowers to each of the houses around yeah. there. And
well, of course it grew quick if you're charging, you know, 10, 20 bucks a lawn, yeah. you know, like just as a kid, there's yeah. like, some adults like, yeah, I'm going to take advantage of this dude right here. Yeah. He's going to charge nothing.
Well, there's like no you upfront know? Money too. Yeah. Like I think a lot of people, like when they're trying to start a business now, the first thing they think, how am I going to raise money for yeah. my app or yeah. whatever? Yeah. Like, dude, literally look take around. Your parents' mower yeah. and go knock on every door until you can get one. And so we yeah. did that. And then I feel like we learned a lot of fundamentals of business. At least I did. Like an example would be like, we developed like these little cards with rubber bands on them. We'd leave them on the, if the person wasn't home when we were mowing, we'd leave it on their door and say, hey, Ethan was here mowing your lawn today. I hope the service was great. If you have any questions or concerns, give me a call on my cell phone yeah. right here. Just like taking care of customers mm. one by one. So I'm really glad that like it started that way. And anyways, yeah, I was able to scale it. We had 20, 30 lawns at our peak. Our buddies were all working for us, and it was pretty dang fun.
That's already so much further ahead than most businesses now. They're just like, hi, bye, see yeah. you later, yeah. you know?
Don't even get their first
employee. I pull a guy, I'm like, did he even come this week? Yeah, you know, yeah. like Ethan's already out of the game at 11, yeah. dude.
No, so I learned some of the fundamentals there, but honestly didn't have like an LLC, didn't have insurance. Like
well, yeah.
it was still, we were winging
that's all
it, right?
under the
yeah.
table stuff, bro. You run an illegal
oh,
gamut.
Yeah. Come
right
on,
there.
Maximize
yeah.
the profit.
Hell
baby.
Yeah.
when I was 16, I wanted to step it up. It was just kind of the time I was starting to hang out with friends, right? 16, you're really focused on that. There was a local spot that my friends would hang out with. It was called Island Flavor. It was a shaved ice shack.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with all the girls that were working there and everything too. But yeah. I was listening to orders. I was like, this is interesting. Like, okay, they just charge $5 for that 24 ounce. That's ice and flavor. Ice.
Yeah.
I see this many people per hour coming in. Like I was boyfriend, girlfriend with one of the girls that worked in the shack. I would just sneak in there and like figure out how to make all the recipes. And then I was like, yeah, I got to do this. I also noticed too, I was like, people aren't really here just for the snow cone. Like the snow cone's good,
yeah,
but they're here to hang out with their friends. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. I think I could do this better. So I go KSL.com, classifieds,
yeah,
and I look for a shaved ice shack. And I found one. It was like $10,000, $15,000 or something, but it was perfect. It was like state of the art. And I went up, looked at it, and again, it was perfect. And this lady was selling it she had like owned a bakery. It was just up in Heber, Utah. And in her description, she had wrote, open to business inquiries, whatever that would have meant, right? And so my dad's in finance, and he taught me how to basically make a projection, yeah, create a P&L in Excel, and we figured out how many snow cones I would need to sell and what the cost on them would be. Literally is the same format of a spreadsheet I use now for all of my different stores and business adventures. But yeah, I pitched an idea to her and I was like, hey, listen, I don't have the money to buy this snow cone shack, but I've got a little bit of money and I'll buy the ice shaver and I'll run the business and we could split it 50-50.
Yeah.
And she was all about it. And so we did it. I found a lot. That was another big part. I had to find a lot and work a deal with the property owner, get a lease. And this time I had to do it legit. I was 16, 17, just turning 16, turning 17 when it started. But yeah, started at the time, actually. I literally was just Googling stuff like, what do I need to do to get a business license? So I ended up setting up a sole proprietorship called Ethan Cisteros.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
A lot of people start that way.
Yeah. But I didn't know what the difference was. By the time, a sole proprietorship, Ethan Cisteros. And I hired employees. I figured out how to do payroll, pay sales tax.
So when you found the lot, what did you do there? Did you do like a monthly fee, or did you do a percentage of revenue? First year was
$300 a month.
Okay.
And yeah, I plopped the shack down there. I marched into the city, said, hey, I want to do this. Like, what would I need to do? And I talked to the business licensing department, the zoning department, all of the place, like the fundamentals of how I open stores today and do the same type of stuff. But yeah, I learned how to do it. The other thing I did there is I made it an experience. I was like, okay, people aren't just here for the soda shack. They're here to hang out.
Yeah.
And I was going in high school. I was like, this is going to be the hangout spot. I went to a school called Olympus High. I called it Olympus Ice. It was like a mile or so up the road. I had deck lights going out, like cornhole boards, music. I hired all the cute girls at the school to work there. Like,
yeah, that's a perk of being a business owner, you know?
And man, I flyered every door. This was like before Instagram. This was like Facebook days. So I was posting on Facebook, Twitter. And yeah, I built Olympus Ice. And seasonal business, right? It was just summer, fall.
I was just going to say, business declines if you're in Heber, Utah.
We brought the shack down to Salt Lake.
Oh, you did?
For the seasons, and that's where the lot where at a lease was. But I mean, I think we did like $50,000 the first summer or something before it went back up for the winter. And I did the next 2 years too. And yeah, like I learned how to do inventory. I learned how to be in QuickBooks and do the basics of accounting. And yeah, that was kind of my first real business. I was 18. All my friends were graduating high school. All my friends went on LDS missions, all of them. And did not want to do that.
Yeah.
That's not my style.
You're neck deep in business, bro.
I was fun doing that. And I wanted to step it up. I knew I wanted to step it up. And Swig, who originated here where we are, hadn't made it nearly to the Salt Lake Valley yet. Soda shops, they were a thing, but it was like Provo and St. George.
Yeah.
And no one had made it to the Salt Lake Valley yet. It was just 7-8 years ago now. I'm 25 now. So it was like 8 years ago when we first started ideating the concept of Thirst. And then honestly, I graduated high school and I was like, gosh, I just want to step it up. And I found this drive-through lot in downtown Salt Lake. I don't know if you guys know downtown, but it's right by the B Stadium, State Street and 13th South. It's ghetto. It is ghetto.
I was gonna say that, but I didn't
there
want
are
to
homeless
talk
people
on your location.
Everywhere. Yeah. We still have that store today. It's our OG store, as we call it. But it is. Yeah, I had no idea though. I was like, oh, drive through, sweet.
Yeah.
I think it was like four grand a month.
It could have been behind a freaking dumpster. You wouldn't have gave a yeah, shit. It was no like idea. Your first store.
Yeah.
To you, it was just like, oh.
Exactly. Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. So it came up with thirst. And thirst is an, I knew just like I did the Snow Gun Shack, I was like, okay, why the heck are people waiting in line at Swig to get some shit that they could get at
Maverick
for cheaper? They're not going to wait in line.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. And that's when I started understanding what brand is.
Yeah.
And an experience is. And I was like, oh, they're in line because they want to take a Instagram story and have Swig respond to them. They want to, you know, post on their Snapchat that they're doing the cool, fun thing to do.
And well, like, it's also a status thing that you could pay $5 for a drink instead of the low lives paying 99 cents at the gas station.
Fair enough. You know, fair enough.
It's like a purse for $5,000 versus $50. Yeah. Right?
Like it is. Yeah. It's like a fun thing to
do. Yeah. But I realized it's like, okay, this is not so much about the product. This is really like other businesses maybe are more around the product itself. Yeah. This is about the marketing. This is about the experience that they have when they're there. This is about the brand of Swig, which is literally like credit where credit's due. I think Swig is
they the did bomb. Amazing. Yeah, with it. Yeah,
I'm so much awesome. Respect for them.
Yeah.
Now being like a competitor, obviously I want to beat them, right? Yeah. But I think that's one of my favorite parts about entrepreneurship. Anyways, I created Thirst, and I actually. The person who originally invested in it, my co-founder, her name is Sierra, she was the one that owned the Shaved Ice Shack. And so she had watched me work really hard for 3 summers.
Yeah.
She's not rich by any means, but she actually had a house out here in St. George. She sold it and I took about a $70,000 investment, put it all into the renovations of this building. I painted the roof myself. I did everything myself and created was Thirst. And, it originated like our menu was actually identical, probably a little bit worse than Swig's. Yeah. Like we were buying cookies from a big bakery and reselling them. We, you know, found out all the popular drink combos, named it myself, created a brand. And I really made an experience. One of the things that like makes Thirst is a couple of things. I call them our brand signatures. Have a happy day. We always say have a happy day. It's about this happy experience. Any free popcorn with your order at all of our stores. We always have free popcorn. And those are the kind of things I did right off the bat.
You get that from, is it Ace that does that? The Ace Hardware?
Ace does do that,
They do the popcorn. My kids love that damn.
Yeah, it's a good part
What they love about it is those little teeny baby shopping carts that can't fit shit in it, but the kids get to push them around, and then they get the popcorn.
Ace is smart. I love that when I was a kid.
Yeah, you're talking about experience, right? Yeah. Like, guess what? My kids are like, can we go to Ace? It's like, we don't have any need to go to Ace, but yet the kids wanted to go to Ace because they made it an experience, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I'm glad I did it that way. I'm glad I started a couple of things. I'm glad I started. Now our menu actually has things that are different. And I think that's a good part to have when you're competing, right? You know, have something that's different and better. And so now we do, all of our cookies are fresh. We have fresh baked pretzels, beignets, these signature things. But at the time, I'm telling you, like our menu was the same or worse than our competitors. And I'm glad it was because I had to learn how to provide an experience. And I was also in the worst possible location ever. And I kid you not, so I opened the door, had this massive grand opening. All my friends from high school came and it was this big thing. Literally the next day, I think I did $175 in revenue. $175.
Yeah.
Damn, I should have a grand opening every day. Just mark it as a grand opening daily for like the first year.
Yeah.
Re-grand opening.
And I just hired all this team. I'm like, that's how you do it. You get to hire employees. Yeah. I literally set up an office upstairs. I should have known better because I worked every shift in the Snow Cone Shack. But I was like, oh, I'm stepping up. It's going to be like this. I kid you not, no one came to Thirst for 2 years, really 2 years. I had to fire almost everyone. I worked literally every single shift for 2 years and built, one by one built, like just same stuff as the lawn mowing business, like took care of one customer at a time and just literally wowed them. And most of the time it was me. And so did that for 2 years. This is also the same time Instagram was like becoming the communication platform of society, right? Like it didn't used to be that way, but I jumped on that quick and I literally like between every car, every night till I went to bed, I would literally direct my top strategy. This is actually what I think is a top strategy for any business still. Search function on Instagram, search under places, search Salt Lake City, Utah. Literally, and you can go top or recent. I don't go top because that's like everyone's DMing them. I go, you're Joe Schmo from Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And I just message them and I say a different one every time. Hey, Joe, saw you're from Salt Lake. I saw you like dogs. We have free dog treats at our shop. And my name is Ethan. I own this business down here. Would love to have you come in for a free drink on me. Yeah. Let me know how your experience is. Really looking forward to earning your business. one by one. I would literally direct message every single person that. And slowly, they started coming in.
See how he elongated slowly.
We lost money. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't joking when I say, like, I really have never taken any business money out of thirst.
Right.
I'm fortunate enough to not need it because I'm a single guy with no expenses and have a mattress on the floor and I'm just going for it. And I would prefer to do it that way. But really, like, the first couple of years of thirst, like, really was not popular. No one came. We were losing money. And then I kind of hit this wave with Instagram. That really started blowing us up. This is also the same time the Vivint Arena where the Jazz play.
Yeah.
It was getting rebuilt. Yeah. So Swig used to be in there. And I was like, oh, their contracts are probably up right now. So every day I was handwritten letters to the person that's in charge there, dropping off cookies till I finally got a meeting. And I pitched the idea that local is going to be best here. Yeah. And I'm going to outwork anyone else that you'll put in here. And I got a spot in there. That was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
In the Vivint Arena. So that's technically our second location.
Yeah.
But I've been in there for, 5-6 years ever since. Still.
So you went around a bunch of homeless people for the first one.
Yes.
And then around pro athletes for number two.
Exactly.
Yeah, not bad.
Dude, that's a great point, though. Well, there's actually already a lot of lessons in that story. But, like, dude, that prospecting that you're doing on Instagram, like, everybody's well hunting these top people, you know what I mean? But there's such a huge market in all of this other avenues, right? The recent, the instead of the top. And so you're just prospecting.
It's more effective, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I explain it
touch,
this way.
Yeah.
If you, a lot of people run ads, Instagram, Facebook ads, like the boost, you know, it's going to bring it in.
Yeah.
I think that is personally a little bit of the lazy way out. Here's why. Because look at, if you're going through your feed, you go like decently fast, like averagely fast. You see a sponsored post, you instantly keep going like faster. An ad, like instantly you'll go, that's an ad. They're trying to sell me something. Now, if someone literally direct messages you a personal customized message and genuinely asks for the opportunity to earn your business, that is like completely the opposite. Like, what? Yeah. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's like, it takes a lot more work, but it's honestly, the ROI is insanely high compared to
The inboxes do get just bombarded, right?
Sure,
like we get message requests and like sometimes you go in there to clean them out, you know, because it's like your spam
filter. If you're you, bro, that's not everybody.
Yeah, I clean it out.
Well, what I'm saying is you get bombarded. Yeah. Not everybody gets bombarded. Well, not everyone's Kel Goodman.
Well.
Yeah.
At some point it gets to be too much, right? Yeah.
But like you can't, but the strategy is just be real, right? Like, because you can tell when it's like, hey, do you want 15,000 followers? Like, it's all fake, right?
And
it's
think
like, when it's real, like you DM'd me and I was like, I replied because it's like, you know, when you're talking to a real person, you know? So actually doing the hard work of like prospecting one at a time is super valuable. And even like, Chance Weber, when he was doing his marketing training with our group, he's like, guys, I'm going to tell you the most powerful thing is like the dude that's out there putting flyers on windshields and knocking on doors and DMing people directly.
Gorilla.
Like, he's like, Gorilla that stuff is still what works overall. But everyone wants to do like the big magical funnel that's just automated. And what you're going to get to a point where that works, right? And you're doing the massive thing.
Yeah.
But when you're building, like you're building and like you have been building, it's like, dude, that is the most powerful thing. That prospecting that's real. And it's one-on-one and it's genuine. Yeah.
And I also think the other thing is, if you listened back to that message I wrote, I didn't really ask for much. Like,
right.
And the same if I hit up an influencer or like someone like you guys that I look up to, and I obviously I would love to be here right now. I'd love for the opportunity to be here, but I didn't hit you guys up and be like, yo, you got to have me on your pod. Like, I'll bring pretzels if you have me on your podcast.
Right.
Like, didn't have any expectation in return. Like, I genuinely wanted the opportunity to earn everyone in here's business.
Yeah.
And particularly you guys, obviously, but like, I think the giving without asking for something in return, we were talking about earlier, it has come back around. This is a perfect example, the fact that I'm sitting here right now, have this opportunity, but like, just like, well, I think a lot of people are like, okay, well, what am I going to get out of bringing someone pretzels or like, you know, asking them to come in and maybe giving them something for free? They don't have to buy anything else. Yeah. You get an opportunity to meet that person, earn their business. Right. So,
yeah. And dude, honestly, you did a great job because when you came in, you know, like you didn't, say, hey, let me tell you my story or anything like that. It was kind of like, dude, that's such a cool location that you got. How did you get that? I'm asking you the questions. Yeah. And then you're like, well, you know, this is our fifth or sixth location or whatever it was. And I was like, dude, that's crazy. How'd you start? So now I'm asking the questions because I'm interested, right? Yeah. And then after you left, I'm like, actually be a cool story to have on the podcast. Yeah. But you didn't come in like, let me tell you my story. Yeah. Here's all these pretzels, you know, because I want this thing, right? And so you did a great job at that.
Well, let's just say we have plenty of people that, one, first off, we don't see them like, comment, share any of our shit, and they slide into the DMs. Hey, I got a cool story. Da, 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 da. You know, I'd love to be on your podcast. I'm like, sure you fucking love to be on the podcast, bro. Yeah. You want to piggyback off of the attention that it took 4 years to build and the money that we've invested into it. But I like it, literally, I said that to somebody yesterday. I said, I haven't seen you like, comment, share. Like, not even a fucking, this is your first message. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they just, there's a lot of takers. Like, hey, what can I, like, I'm going to reach out to them to see if I can get, figure out how to give. Yeah. And then guess what happens? The law of reciprocity kicks in and somebody's like, man, that's a cool dude. I want to help them however I possibly can. Yeah. Or I want to have that individual share their story to other people because the caliber of individual that you are, right?
Yep. Like it's just you have to stand out, you know what I mean? And you do a great job at that.
Let me ask you this. Did you do shitty in school? Because most entrepreneurs are shit in school.
Yeah, so I'm smart enough to do good, like if I really want to, but didn't go or was just purely distracted. I'm the type of guy where I will literally lose my train of thought in the middle of a sentence sometimes. Yeah. And I just get distracted way too easy. So I did zero homework.
You just did usually didn't go to class. To
exactly.
Just to graduate.
He's like, I'm going to create the hangout down the street because I don't want to go to school.
Well, he talked about starting all this shit in school. So I was like sitting there thinking, I was like,
yeah,
I wonder if he's one of us, you know, that did shitty in school.
Did not go to college. You know?
Yeah, you did. You've been in college for the last fucking 8 years, bro. Right, you got a master's degree in business now. Yeah. You got a master's degree in eating shit in order to grow something that has the ability to have a lot of worth 5, 10, 15 years down the road. And that's another lesson right there. Like a lot of people want to get into business so that they could get rich year one, year two, year three, whatever. And when that shit's difficult and it's hard, they want to quit and give up. They start giving their emotions a little too much of their ear, right? Like, what the fuck? Like you knew it was going to be hard going in and you were okay with that. Then you knew starting the business, you didn't do it so that you can get rich in 6 months or 1 year or 2 years. You did it so that you could get rich in 10 years or 15. You were setting yourself up for a better future, not a better tomorrow or next week or next month.
Yep.
And you're playing the long game and that's why you're going to win.
Yep.
Right. And that's where most people fail is they succumb to the emotion of the difficult situations that entrepreneurship presents on year one, year two, year five, year seven, whatever it is, right? And then at that point, all of those second guessing and the doubt, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Look, man, there's going to be a lot of people that fucking hate on you. And I'm sure you have many fucking haters because you're young. Yeah. You're doing things that people that are older than you don't do, right? And you're on social media, you know, whatever, doing your thing. You're going to get haters. It just is what it is. Yes, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about you. It matters what you say about you. And that's the most important thing. And I think that you've done a good job of locking your mind down and making sure that you're honoring yourself and the mission that you set out to accomplish versus worrying about whatever fucking Sally, Joe, Bob says about you on fucking line, right?
Yep. Well, it's to me, I'm like, I feel actually, well, I'll put it this way. I told you guys I've never taken money out of my, what is now $5 million plus revenue business, a real business. If it ended today for whatever reason and I still hadn't made any money, and heck, if I had to pay back some of the startup debt that I have still, like if it all ended today, I would feel pretty close to like almost unstoppable for my next business because I literally have learned by doing the most core basic skills of things like how to drive someone to a brick and mortar store that is not in an easy area to get to. Number one,
how to pass 30 homeless people to get a sale.
how to fight off homeless people.
How to pass 30 homeless people to get your business.
you know, how to I mean, and all of this is still a process, of course, and I'm still honing all this stuff, but I would have a great base and also, you know, how to present someone feedback, you know, and manage people, how to do accounting for my business. Like, yeah. And I've never been to school for it. All these different things of like actually having being thrown in there. It's like, okay, you can either figure this out or like you're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've developed these skills. So if it ended today, I would be stoked to take those skills and then go deploy them into another thing.
Oh yeah.
So I wouldn't be worried about that time at all.
It's just a fact that you're not ever starting over when you go through this, yeah. Even if something failed or it reached the end of its road, like you're not starting over because you have so much to now give to the marketplace. And
yeah.
Like, honestly, there's a ton of money in mentorship and there's a ton of money in, you know, building communities and things like that, right? And so it's like, yeah, you're right, dude. Yeah. Like you would never be starting from zero. You'd be like, look, man, these are the steps to get.
You can start a social media DMing company.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do all your DMs and drive business to your shit. Yeah. You know, I'll just want 20% of whatever business that's I drive true. Or whatever, like, right?
You learn a lot about marketing. Yeah. You learn a lot about taking the steps, contacting the city, handwriting the freaking Vivint Arena bosses to get in there. You know what I mean? Like, people don't do that because they don't know where to start and they don't have the courage to start. And so it's like,
well, I think some people shoot their shot. Yeah. Right. And they send that one letter to the Vivint Arena.
Sure.
Instead of shooting your shot and then chasing the motherfucker down.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
if you miss,
Dude, when I messaged Gary Vee's team, I came in and told Trev about it that day. And I was like, yeah, message him because I think it'd be cool to do something with Vayner Sports or whatever. I saw that they were promoting this thing. And he's like, well, message him again. I was like, oh, yeah. So I messaged him again.
Yeah.
And I think it was like third or fourth message. They finally replied.
You know? And then they replied. Yeah. You know, like. Yeah. It takes a while to get attention of the big dogs. Right. Like if that's something you're committed to.
You gotta earn it too.
Yeah, exactly,
like,
right.
It takes work. Like all of this stuff just takes work too.
Yeah, no,
like,
when you want something. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you want something so bad, you look at a shitty location downtown by the B Stadium as like, it looks like a palace to you. Yeah. You're just like, oh my gosh, this is my starting point. Like, it's got this beauty to it.
Yeah.
You know, but when you really want something, you'll take those steps.
Yeah.
You know?
And you got more time than you got money, right?
Yeah.
So you just got sitting there. So I mean, that's, I guess, to continue the story. So I got into the Vivint Arena. That helped grow the brand, you know, and made our other store a little busier.
Yeah.
Still one by one, and really jumped on Instagram. I was doing 50 stories a day, like at least. And this is back then, it was on the main Thirst Drinks account and DMing every influencer, everything I could do, and went pretty good. 4 years in, I think. I grew up in a town called Mill Creek, which is a few miles to the south of it. And there was an iconic location. This one was really good. So this one is a really good location. We still have it today. It's still our top store today, 33rd South. And they were going out of business. It was an old burger shop with a massive sign in the front. And I worked out a TI deal to get in there. Still not any money.
Yeah.
TI deal to get in there, signed a 10-year lease and opened our second store. And that's when we really started to take off.
Mm.
Everything started to come together a little bit. Four years of just grinding and doing marketing. And that started to hit its peak a little bit more. This is actually kind of around Corona, like right before Corona. And that actually did really well for our business because of the drive-thrus. In fact, Mill Creek's never been as busy as it was in 2020.
People didn't have anywhere else to go. They're
insane.
Like, damn, let's just go grab
I saw that with Swig too. I was like, oh my gosh, that line is wrapping
things you can
around
do in your car. So that was, so blessed to have that happen.
Yeah.
But basically, then I went from Mill Creek. After that, I opened, we were doing, one of the things I say is kind of like my funding for Growing Thirst, because I've never raised any funding for it. It's all been off the profit of the business or loans that I'm paying back. But we do a lot of catering. So we do soda bar for your wedding, pretzel bar for your wedding, beignet bar for your wedding, or your corporate party or your birthday party or whatever you want us to do.
Yeah.
We were doing that, and I developed that out of my first store and just for some extra cash. And it really started to take off. Really started to take off. And I tripled down. I was doing Facebook lead form ads and pouring everything I had in there, and it went insane. And now that was actually like my third location that we opened. So went downtown, I guess four. So downtown, Vivint Arena, Mill Creek. Then we opened what I called Thirst Underground. And that was our catering location. And I was also going to make it a ghost kitchen. So like we do, one of the things that made us popular and we still do today is every Friday and Saturday at all of our stores, back then was just the one or two stores, we do a new weekend feature, as we call it. So we'll feature a different, like, say we want to feature like a local bakery's empanadas on our menu on Friday and Saturday. This week, now that we have our own bakery, like we feature this weekend, we're doing red velvet beignets.
Yeah.
A new thing to bring people in. Anyways, I was like, everyone always wants those when it's not the weekend. I'm going to start a ghost kitchen out of this catering location, and it'll be online orders only. And like, they're going to get the stuff that they can't get at a normal store. I was like, oh, it's going to be amazing. And classic Ethan, I blew this thing up on social, like insane. Still was today with, I think, my biggest grand opening. And I brought about maybe literally like 1,000 cars to this grand opening of this Thirst Underground, as I called it. And we just shit the bed on it. We like the operational side of it. God, I remember, I'm like 21 at this point. And just all the order. I didn't think about the fact that with the ghost kitchen, everyone can order at once. At the drive long drive through line, you can do one order at a time.
We got, if it's all online,
hundreds of orders, dude. At 5 p.m. it started. Hundreds. And dude, we messed up. Like, people were pissed. Most people left. Like, we could not get it together. And just total failure. And it was actually one of like the peak popularity moments of Thirst, because come to find out, so I went on Instagram later that night and I was like, Thirsty Nation, which is, I call our community, the Thirsty Nation. Thirsty Nation, what up, it's Ethan. I am so sorry, you guys. Like, seriously, like, I want to make this right for all of you, like, getting your money back, blah, blah, blah. Here's what happened. Yeah. Here's what we learned from it. Like, here's how we're going to go forward.
Yeah.
And that piece of content was, it's still one of our most viewed videos. Like, and we had half the followers as we do now, because just of the authenticity. And like, it was a failure. I ended up just closing the ghost kitchen altogether. It was that bad. No one wanted to come back. But it was a peak popularity
massive
moment.
Massive success on the grand opening.
It was massive.
Yeah.
It's still our catering location.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Right? Massive success couldn't create issues, right? Yeah. Like, you had such success that it actually created a problem, right? Like, everybody wants this thing, but they're not even ready for this thing that they think that they want, right?
And it taught me, too, like, you got to live up to the hype, or it's just going to speed up the process of people never coming back.
Yeah.
Like, I was at this, you guys like, I'm so good at marketing. That's my strength. Well, dude, you got to be good at ops, or when they get there, they're going to never come back.
Yeah. We've had those same lessons.
Yeah. So I got slapped in the face, but the piece of content went
massive
viral.
Failure created a massive opportunity, right? Yeah. Like, gave you the opportunity to go be vulnerable and be like, man, I messed up. Here's what I learned. Yeah. People actually really appreciate the honest, like, you know, like, ownership, ownership, like, man, whatever. And so then people give you another chance, dude. Yeah. And then, you know, they'll come buy your pretzels where you can actually fulfill them, you know? Yep.
And so it went good. That's still
the underground is now 6 feet under ground.
Yeah. No more ghost kitchen line.
No more ghost kitchen.
It is our catering line.
It is literally a ghost of the past.
Some months, our catering, it's like our highest volume store most months, honestly. Yeah. So it's a pretty significant part of our business. Then next I opened my third drive through, which is in West Jordan. I opened the fourth one in Bountiful. I opened the fifth one in Tooele. That one is actually a car wash as well. So it's lot that we got, and it's basically, we call it the Thirsty Wash compound, as I call it. So basically you go through Thirst, when you're in line, they'll ask you, would you like to add a car wash to that for just $5? You say yes, you jump back in, go through the Thirst car wash tunnel. And so, we got that going at Tooele. We are also in the Rio Tinto Stadium. We're in the B Stadium. We got a couple locations in Rio now, two locations in Vivint. We opened our own. One of the things in the last couple of years is open our own production facility, where I was buying cookies and buying these things from other bakeries.
Overpriced shit.
Yeah. Basically, I bought the recipes from them. I'm not a baker at all. I'm definitely just an entrepreneur, but I bought a bakery location and I bought all the equipment on loans that I'm paying back. But I bought those recipes. I wanted to bring them in house. And kind of my vision is, if I do franchise one day, or, you know, they'll pay their franchise fee, but they'll also buy all their stuff from me.
That's great. And it's, and you got St. George too.
Yeah. And then, so we just opened St. George. So this is our last one. And this one is a combo franchise. So this is, we're actually the Wetzel's Pretzels franchisees for Utah.
Yeah.
So none of our other stores are like that. They're just Thirst stores. They have Thirst pretzels. They're both good. Arguably, which one's better?
Yeah.
But it's a fun experience. Wetzel's Pretzels is only in malls before this. They wanted to move to like a drive-through model, especially during Corona.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm selling pretzels through a drive-through pretty well. And they loved the idea of a collab. And so they've been awesome to work with.
Yeah.
I have a Wetzel's Pretzels powered by Thirst food truck. And then I have a Thirst powered by Wetzel's store.
I like them, dude. I like them better than the mall one. I got to ask this, okay? Because Trev knows, and I know. Like, dude, there's so many things that you get to these breaking points. I mean, you go through all this stuff to get to where you're at, right? And it's like, me, personally, I'm like, there's so many opportunities to give up, right?
Yeah.
Why don't I give up? I don't give up because I got kids. I got a family. I got employees that have families. I got all these things, right? But you're this single guy. You're running. You're gunning. You can shift gears. You can do whatever you want. Like, you've got now all this steps to go build anything else. Like, why haven't you given up when you went through all these different adversities? Like, what kept you from giving up?
Yeah, I think it depends on the chapter for sure. Like, back in the first days, like when it was just me in the store, you know, I had someone had put a little money into me. I really had literally no other option, right? Like, when you're the boss, like, you can't go tell your boss that, yo, this is too hard, right? I was literally gonna go out of business, which would have been, it was sucked, right? And so I was forced to figure it out. I think a lot of it now has transitioned to, now I have almost 200 employees, 50 of which are salaried people that provide for their families on it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure, as you guys, I mean, I'm preaching, obviously, but like, that is a lot of what drives me now. Like, Ethan, how dare you? Like, you have the audacity to bite this much off. Like, you need to go be the leader that you promised to be, you know, and deliver and make sure everyone's checks is paid. And so I think, it's when there's no other, I think this is what I like about not raising money for your first venture is there's no other alternative. Like, you can't just go, you can't always hire someone to help you. You can't, like, there's nothing, you will go out of business unless you figure it out.
Yeah.
And I learned so much from doing that. I'm still in that position.
But you could, though. That's the thing, is you could.
Like, go out of business?
You could go out of business. No, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, like, you obviously don't like to let people down. You don't. You could, right? Good. You could be like, you know what? I'm going to go be a ski bum up in Park City and just, you know, work on the ski lifts.
Yeah,
you
don't, I'll sell, you don't the have first to do brand, it. Yeah. Right?
There's something that's wired in you that's like, I can't. I have to see my dream through. I have to, you know, that's bigger than even, you know, not letting people down. Cause that drives me too. Right? Sure. That drives me. I got kids. I got people I don't want to let down. That drives me too. But there's something that's wired into you that's like, I got to see this through.
Yeah.
You know? I have to prove it to myself or something. Yeah. Right.
You're right. I don't know what that is about me. It's just been me for forever, I guess. Yeah. Like, I've always, like, I love the return on hard work. Like, I learned that, I think, in like very beginning of Thirst. It's like, holy crap, literally the harder I work, the better things get.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I love that. I love seeing that return. And it's just been kind of the person I am, I guess. Like, I've been.
It's awesome. It's a self-improvement journey, dude. You know, you're not the same individual that you were last year or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. You learn a lot about self.
Yeah.
Right. We could say hard work. Totally. We could say money. Yeah. We could say this, that, the other. But the fact is, the majority of human beings aren't evolving. You know, once they get out of high school or college, they get to a certain spot and then they just sit in that groove for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's, you know, like you said, I'm not really making money. But you're still evolving as a human being. You're still seeing personal progress as an individual. And there's a sense of fulfillment that comes with that, that there's always a new challenge. There's always something to overcome.
Yeah.
And you have to grow into a new individual to overcome, you know, that new situation, right?
Well, and I think it's one of my favorite things. I'm trying to actually teach like some of my corporate team about this right now, which is like, I think one of the most, you know, I don't want to say attractive, it kind of sounds weird, but attractive things about kind of like, you know, that my community likes about me and that my employees like about me is.
You can say the most badass thing about me.
Okay, I'll take that. Most badass thing is it's contrary to what most people think is badass, is I don't think I know all the answers. I genuinely do not.
Right.
Like, I tell my team that if I don't know, I do not know. I think what's unattractive, not badass, is when someone literally thinks they knows everything.
Right.
That's hard. Like, I think you guys probably know that, like, that, especially like when they don't. Right. And so I'll tell my Thirst audience, hey, we messed up this weekend feature. Like, we put the wrong amount of yeast in there. And I know all of you guys got bad product. Like, I'm gonna make it right with all of you guys. Or I'm telling my team, you know, guys, like, I'm really struggling here. We're like with this, you know, these two people's relationship in the company, it's really holding us back. And so I think like documenting and not acting like you know all the answers.
It's vulnerability, bro.
Vulnerability.
Yeah. Is what it is. Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's been one of my top strategies as a leader is really just, like, learning by doing. And, yeah, I'm getting experience. I'm getting more knowledge as I go. But I'm not fronting ever, you know, to my team, to my audience, like just grateful and just learning as we
go. What was the darkest moment in the last 6 or 7 years? Because that's really what entrepreneurship is about. It's what you do in your darkest hour.
Yeah.
Was it just a year one where you brought in hardly anything? Was it year two? Was it like, when did you second guess yourself to the highest degree?
Yeah.
And you were at a dark, dark place because we've all been there.
I mean, I'll be honest, it gets harder every day because as we're growing, it's, and I mean, you pointed this out when we first met, like it is harder with every step of growth, every additional customer and every additional employee, especially every additional store
every additional lease, every additional pressure, there's more on the line.
Like I actually liked the beginning because literally I had like barely any employees. Like it was just me. Like it was, I really am just messing up for me at that point. Right. Like, so I would say I mean, not that I'm in a dark place, but the hardest time is right now, no question.
Yeah.
No question is right now, especially right now. Like, you know, I opened like way too many stores too fast the last three years. And I deployed capital that I didn't even have, you know. And I am learning the lessons that I'm paying that back. I am, you know, I have.
You're sleeping on the mattress on the floor.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's difficult. It's extremely, extremely difficult. And, you know, it's harder now than it ever has been. I like it though. I mean, like I'm definitely like becoming more aware of like mental health and like, and like mindset and leadership. Mm. But like one thing I try to keep in mind and try to recalibrate myself on is I'm in control. Like I truly feel that I'm in control, like of my attitude, and gosh, man, does it affect everyone else in my company how I'm feeling? Yeah. Like I made a video the other day. I'll walk into one store because you know I can't be at every store.
Yeah.
And we're talking about 6 drive-throughs, but you got 3 arenas, you got a production facility, you got a catering. Come out 10 plus places, food truck that like you haven't placed at or corporate office. I walk into one of them and I can maybe be there for 10 minutes sometimes. The tone that I have before I say a single thing completely affects everyone in the shop.
Yeah.
And like their attitude changes, probably the way they feel about thirst changes, probably the way they act towards customers that day changes. Yeah. It is like insanely powerful how my tone as the leader or, you know, my manager's tones in their shop, like in 2 seconds will change the game for everything. It's so powerful. So being mindful of that, like I'm being mindful of that.
Are you a big reader, big podcaster? Like where do you put information into your mind? How do you get information in?
Yeah, I listen to podcasts. I'm definitely a big fan of your guys's. Driving to St. George and back has been my podcast time when I'm coming into this store. But I'm really like,
you're gonna have a new favorite episode.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to listen.
Yeah.
No, I don't read ever.
Yeah.
I wish I did. I probably should push myself to do it. I'm sure I could, but I just don't really ever. If anything, it's a podcast. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you're definitely one of those guys that's just banging, bing, 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 bouncing all over the place. You know what I mean? So it's easy to be like, I don't make time to read, but yeah, it's what's powerful.
I respect it though. Like I do see that. Like I obviously winners are doing it. So like I don't think I'm above it by any means. But yeah, it's just kind of my style, I guess.
Yeah.
How do people connect with you if they want to reach out and just share the love because of the vulnerability, the authenticity, and everything that you shared with them today?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram. I mean, DMs. You're like, I'm back on every DM.
Yeah.
I mean, one by one, I'd love to meet literally
whether
everyone.
You send him a DM or not. He might find you.
Yeah, I might find you. Yeah. You
know? So either DM him first or just wait until he pops up near you and says recent posts.
No,
ask you to share a kernel of popcorn with him.
Yeah. I mean, like I just love to meet everyone, dude. Like, that's kind of the mindset I've been in lately. Like,
networking.
Literally anyone. Yeah. I don't need you to come to my store either. Like, invite you in for a free pretzel. Like, I'm like beyond grateful if you're going to follow along. I'm grateful if you just want to say what up or ask me for something.
Yeah.
Like I love the opportunity. So I'm just in a offensive mode. I always have been.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for the things that I've got and that's just kind of been my perspective and it's been,
I love it, dude. And there really is a lot of lessons in today's episode, right? Because people lose track of like what gets them to where they're at. I know a lot of people are gonna listen to this. They might even be further along than you and me. Yeah. Right. But they're going to be like, dude, that's true. I haven't been hustling, prospecting like I used to. And
I got a question for you guys though.
Yeah.
if you, obviously barely know me, but if you had to, guess what's going to be like one of the main variables of whether or not I'm able to take my business to, you know, this nationwide level and really create something, you know, even close to along the lines of what you guys have built and what other successful people have built.
Dude, I mean, you...
What variable kind of comes to mind?
We're still learning a lot too, but dude, like, I'll tell you right now, one of the biggest blessings that we've had this last year is just bringing people in better than us. Yeah. Like, you're going to reach this point of, like, your cash flow is going to become profitable and you're going to have the resource of money to go out and get people like a Devin or a Mike or who also helped build and scale Swig. Those guys work for us now.
Yeah.
And we're now able to use their metrics to now scale our business. And already we're making all these improvements because just not very long ago, we're in the same boat you're in. We're like, we brought on too much. We can't fulfill it. We're saying sorry to our customers. We're refunding money. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, well, obviously we've brought to this point where our salesmanship, our networking abilities, all these things have helped us scale a business to a point, but we can't scale any further without the right leadership for us, right? Because even if you're a great leader for all these people, you need leadership too.
Yeah.
And so we get a guy like Devin in here and Mike and Brian and these guys that like know the accounting industry even better than us.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is how you scale. Let's put this plan into action. And so hiring for where you're going, right?
How is it managed? Like, I'm curious. I barely just took a couple steps on that. A controller and an operations manager. Right. Both have multi-location restaurant experience. So I'm really trying to go in on that.
That's awesome.
What's the best way to manage someone that's better than you? You
by letting them
like
do what
when you literally
great
have
at,
no idea,
letting them do what
just
they're
go.
Great at,
just go.
Yeah, do not manage somebody that doesn't need to be managed because then you'll be the bottleneck.
Yeah,
right. Like if they're the right person, then they're the right person, right? Yeah. Like we know Devin's the right person.
Yeah,
right.
And we didn't know for a few months, but after a few months, it's like he knows what we're good at. He knows what he's good at. He shows up. He does what he says he's going to do.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, right?
But, just follow. Do you follow up and like?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
should
we
have,
meetings. Yeah.
You should have weekly
meetings. We have our board
meetings.
Them.
Yeah.
But it's like he tells us, hey, you know, hey, turn things back on again. Okay. Start doing what I'm good at now. Yeah. That's what, and I get to do that. I get to just do what I'm good at now.
Yeah.
Right. And he knows, like, hey, I'm working with Andrew and the team over here. We've got new, you know, systems, processes that we're executing. Uh-huh. And, you know, hey, it's time to turn business back on again. And so he's now managing me a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm willing to do that. I don't need to be the CEO.
Yeah.
You can be the CEO.
Yeah.
I'll be the guy that just say, hey, tell me what we need. I'll go get it.
That's
what you're good at too. Just so you know.
Let me ask you this though, dude. Like if you can't be around all the time, like don't you want to know that they don't need to be managed and that they're going to do what they need to do in order to make that brand thrive.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So we're not managing an individual. Will we come together with an individual and watch what they're doing? In other words, you stay silent and you have them report everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And you're watching what's changing and how it's changing for the better. And if it's not really changing for the better and it's just a bunch of lip service, then you need to, you know, obviously replace the individual.
Yeah.
But you have to have individuals that don't need to be managed when they are better than you. You're bringing them in so that they could do what they're better than you at, right?
Yeah.
And so
It was like a flip. I don't know if you guys experienced this, but like up until very recently, like I literally couldn't afford anyone that had any more experience than myself, right? So like I was the most knowledgeable about how to run a store, or I was literally training someone how to do our bookkeeping versus now where it's complete reverse. And I definitely think I have the humility to do it, but it's different now being like where someone used to need a to-do list created from me and like all the support. Or now it's like, okay.
You feel a little lost.
Which, now what is my role here?
Yeah.
You know, like I literally actually think I may be working for you. So it's been an interesting transition.
And that's okay. Just
I think
so
that's
you know.
That's good reinforcement for me.
Well, you've been needed for so long that you're going to have this need to feel needed. And to, if you're not doing all the things, then you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you actually taking a step back and having somebody else better than you in a certain role is you doing more than enough. You're getting out of your own way, so to speak, and putting the business first, not Ethan first.
Yeah,
right?
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that, you guys.
I mean, me and Trev had that same conversation, dude. We're like, man, what are we going to do when this guy gets in here? We're like, oh, well, we're going to just shut up and get out of the way because we know what we're good at, and we'll go do that when the time's right. And so you have to hand off that baton of leadership sometimes, man, especially when it's stuff you're not equipped to do. You now have a ton of skills and you can go and execute in those lanes.
Well, he's the personal brand. You are the face, bro. Like it's no different than me and Kel.
It's a big job.
We're, you know, we're the face behind the brand.
Yeah.
So your job is to continue to get awareness, continue to be out shaking hands, kissing babies, and doing pageant waves, doing PR to the community.
Yeah.
Right. And making sure that people love you. In other words, by default, love Thirst.
Yeah.
Because you are Thirst, right?
Yeah.
And let the people behind the scenes do the things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I did get a good recruiting / investing strategy from you today, though.
What was that?
I'm going to go buy a snow shack and I'm going to put it up for sale in the classifieds and I'm going to say business inquiries welcome. And I'm going to let this hustlers? Kid freaking work his ass off for years yeah. and just and eat shit and pay me. Yeah. And then I'll be like, you know what? I think we're ready to go bigger. Hey. And I'm going to have my guy hey. To go
You'll find
scale
a hustler.
Something else.
Yeah. I love
well,
it.
They reach out and say they don't got money, but they're willing to work. Like,
I was thinking
been
that.
Looking for you.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, yeah, because, you know, in every high school, there's only a handful
yeah,
that
yeah.
are like that,
yeah,
right? That
sure.
are there's entrepreneurial kids, there's by the dozens, but there's only a handful that are like really true, like visionary action takers, like willing to eat the shit at next level.
Do whatever so, it takes. Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm. dude, that's a great strategy yeah. to find them. Yeah.
Did you already drop your Instagram handle then?
Ethan from Thirst.
Ethan from Thirst.
Ethan from Thirst. Yeah. I mean, I would love to meet everyone. Send Thirst Drinks is my business. But.
Send him some RBO love and bombard his DMs. yeah. You know,
I'll yeah. get back to you. I promise.
Yeah. Dude, what an awesome episode. We
thank
appreciate
you, so much.
You rolling
I'm
through.
You, thank you, so much.
You definitely crushed it.
You thank
know,
you.
Exceeded even our expectations, dude. You're solid as they come, and you know, in 10 or 20 years, when you're taking over the. It won't be Thirsty. I guess it would be Thirsty Nation. So
it'll
you already
nation.
Started that.
Yeah.
yeah, it'll be nationwide, not Thirsty Utah.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I'm super grateful.
You'll get there, bro. You're
thank
already
you so
on
much.
The right path. So
thank
just
you,
keep
you.
Doing what you're doing and don't second guess it. So.
Thank you so much. Appreciate yeah. you guys.
You should
guys,
be proud of yourself.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he should be great. Proud yeah, of himself, proud. No thank doubt. Yeah. Guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure that you rate, review, share it with somebody that you love and care about, because obviously there's a lot of value in this one today. So other than that, guys, kick ass, take names. We'll see you next week.
Peace. Later.